God in heaven, we come before you this morning so thankful for this opportunity to hear from heaven. Lord, I thank you for pouring your spirit out upon New Day this morning. Not only our congregation, but next door is Pastor John Boss and Corona Friends. Bless them this morning, Heavenly Father. Father, to east of us, dear Lord God, is Pastor John Sloan and North Point. Bless them this morning, Father God. Right next to them is the Vietnamese church. Bless them this morning, Father God. There's the Presbyterian church, the Anglican church. There's Crossroads, Heavenly Father. Down the street is New Hope, Father God. Up the street is Grace Baptist, Heavenly Father. Pour your spirit out, dear Lord God, upon Corona today, dear Lord God. And we believe Corona will be saved, dear Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Question. It's part three of a question. What gets God's attention? What gets God's attention? Now, on your handout, 1 Kings 18:21 is our text. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 21 says this, then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. Let me give you some backstory on this, okay? See, Elijah's a prophet. Now, you know that, let's go all the way back. So there was a flood because man was sinful, okay? And Noah was saved. Noah and his sons repopulated the earth. And out of that came a man, Abraham. God pulled him to the side and said, I have something special I want to do for you. So God told Abraham, you're going to have a son, you and Sarah. Eventually they did. His name was Isaac. Isaac married Rebecca, and they had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. One of the sons, Joseph, ended up in Egypt as a slave, but he rose to preeminence, and then there was a famine, so all the other, his brothers and everybody came down to him. He fed them. They moved to Egypt. They grew and populated. A new pharaoh, a new king rose, and he enslaved everyone, okay, all the Jewish people. So God raised up Moses, and then Moses delivered them out. Now, he told Moses, he said, hey, there's a promised land I want to take you to, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Moses leads them to the edge, but it's Joshua that actually takes them into the promised land. Now, once they got into the promised land, God had warned them, don't be tripping and dipping and slipping and sliding with all the other people around you, because others can influence you. They're not godly people. And so what happened is they got there, their bellies got full, they loving life, living large, and they forgot their God. And then they slipped over into idol worshiping. And so Elijah the prophet, Elijah is so old school. Elijah is so in your face. Elijah, he's like, you know, if you can imagine a nice Mike Tyson. That's the image I get of Elijah, because he's bold, okay. So Elijah goes and he tells, at this time they have a series of kings. He tells Ahab, you know, hey, y'all been tripping. And so I tell you what, meet me on the top of Mount Carmel and we're going to have a showdown. Okay, it's me against your 400 and some prophets, and you guys are worshiping Baal, and it'll just be me and my God, and we're going to see what happens. And so all the people come because they want to see the big fight. It's the fight of the century. Y'all thought it was Mayweather and Pacquiao. No? Okay, so this was a bigger fight back then. And so here's Elijah and the prophets, and what happens is he prays to God, and they start off the prayer to their God to burn up an altar, and fire never falls from heaven. They start cutting themselves, and you got to read this in Hebrew. Elijah really clowns them, because then he begins to say, where's your God? Is he taking a nap, or is he right now having a bowel movement? It actually says in Hebrew. He's just in your face kind of guy. And so he's kind of laughing, and all of a sudden then it's his turn, and he says, bring some water, soak it up, till water's just everywhere. And then fire came down from heaven after he prayed to God and sapped it up. But in the meantime, he makes this statement, and he says this, 21 again. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver hobbling between two opinions? And opinions here, two opinions means a divided mind. A divided mind. If the Lord is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. And I think, sisters, a lot of you guys understand this. You don't know man that likes you and Sally. You're like, brother, you better make your mind up. Better make a choice. You understand that? It's the same thing with the Lord here. what gets his attention is a made up mind. Make your mind up. Make your mind up. So I get out of my car today, and Jaron and Hope, your son, they greeted him in the parking lot, and they said, "Pastor, you for the Eagles." And everybody said, "Pastor, you for the Eagles." Yeah. Now you guys look at me like you a new fool. What in the world is wrong with you, man? Pastor Tony, who you? You wouldn't even know what to say to me. If I walked into the stadium right now, if let's say the game was being played in Veterans Stadium in Philly, you know you don't mess with them cats in Philly. They're crazy. I'll walk up in here with the jersey and then put this cat, I will get beat down. And Raiders fans don't say nothing. Y'all crazy too, okay? You know y'all crazy. I wonder if y'all even saved. Okay, anyway. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Brother Dwayne said, "Hallelujah." All right, amen. You ain't going to get it twisted, huh? You know where your loyalty is now. All right, amen, amen. All right, cool. But what happens is this, and it's too hot. I can't wear this, okay? And just to be honest with you, I don't care who wins today. I really don't. And Minister Tim said, "Pastor Tony, you got to get you a team." It ain't happening. I like football. So I do. So I enjoy it with Gronkowski. That boy is a beast. I don't care what nobody says. That it's like, how does he always stay open? You know, he's 6'11", 315. I mean, he's unusual. And I enjoy him. I really do. I enjoy him. But I also enjoy when somebody takes his head off too. So you know, I don't know. I'm like that. Okay. So anyway, I enjoy the game. Okay. Just FYI, and we can just set that aside. So. I'm going to be rooting whoever scores, hallelujah, and you get burnt, hallelujah, and you can, I'm like that, okay? I'm like that when it comes to NFL football. And when I come to see your son Trey play, I enjoy Trey. When I go to CJ, I enjoy JJ. Amen? We good? All right, let's get back to the word. So turn your hand out over, please, and I want you to understand something. A made-up mind gets God's attention. Now, it's not in your notes, but 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says this, "God's eyes run to and fro upon the earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are complete or perfect towards him." I need to have my heart wholly devoted towards him, and often there are other things that get in the way. I teach that class, Discover, Destined for Purpose. Yesterday we did Discover at Zoe Church in Whittier, and it's that we did the preliminary class to help you really see what are your competing commitments. You say you want this, but there's something else you're committed to, usually at a deep subconscious level, and you don't understand the reason. And I'm going to tell you something, how you do anything is how you do everything. It doesn't stay compartmentalized in one area of your life. It's going to slip and slide all over, okay? Joshua 24, 11 through 15. Let me give you this story. So remember I told you it wasn't Moses that led them into the promised land. It was Joshua. Okay, so let's get into this. Verse 11, "When you crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho," the men, that was to get into the promised land, okay? "The men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave you victory over them, and I sent a terror ahead of you to drive out the two kings of the Amorites. It was not your swords or bows that brought you victory." That's a whole nother message right there. Verse 13, "I gave you land you had not worked on. I gave you towns you did not build, the towns where you are now living. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them." 14, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly." Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, with your whole heart. With your whole heart, with everything that's in you, It's single-mindedness. Seeking the kingdom of God first. Reverence him, that's fear him, that's reverence him, and serve him with everything that's in you. And I can tell you, when you know if you're doing it wholeheartedly, is when something doesn't go your way. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. That's what the Word of God tells us, right? As sweet as Jackie is, she ain't always lovable. Okay? It tells her to submit to me as a husband. I need to give her something to submit to. If I'm out there over there and at the no-tail motel, what is she supposed to submit to? Then I got to figure out why I'm at the no-tail motel. Because she ain't, okay, you fill in a blank. But see, that means you're not wholly devoted to God. Because now you're letting what she ain't distract you and causing you to slip back in sin. I can't let someone else's behavior or misbehavior cause me to sin. My wife or my kids. Can't. I have to make my mind up. I have to make my mind up. No matter what happens, I'm sold out for him. So my brother and his first wife, Robin, they had that sloppy, kissy poo, always a pumpkin, boo-boo, shoo-shoo-boo-shoo. They always was, they had that kind of love. And they were just always all over each other. And it was sincere. He loved her and she loved him. And they had little names. Oh, Lord. It was like watching one of them romance movies on a woman's channel. What's that? Yeah, Lord. Okay, they had one of them kind of romances. I ain't mad, but they did. They just did, okay? I'm sorry. I like the sci-fi channel and a blow-something-up channel. Okay. I like the guns, the car chase, bank robbery channel. They need a channel just for, yeah, anyway. So, going back to wholeheartedly, and so Robin got pregnant with my nephew Miles, and so she went to the hospital, and was somewhere along the way, part of her intestines ruptured, and the bowels or something spilled into her. What do you call it when you get that, and it infected her body? Yeah, what Big Ron said. Okay, so that got all into, and then she held the baby once before she died. She was 32, something like that, yeah. That was tragic. It's one of the hardest things that I've had to deal with. And so what I would do, because I was there at the hospital, I would come in and I'm talking, I'm strengthening, I'm praying, I'm believing, encouraging. And I would go back outside. I would say, I got to use the restroom, I'll be right back. I wouldn't go to the restroom, I'd go outside. I would cry like I was 2 years old. And it's like, I'm not understanding this. She just gave birth. Seriously, Lord? Then I would go back in, hey guys, we're going to stand and believe. I wouldn't let them see me in my moment of weakness. So Robin passes. And so Robin was part of the gospel workshop. What's that thing? She was singing all in Minnesota. Every time I look up, she's somewhere, you know, in that group. So at the funeral, they had a lot of them came, and the worship was intense. That praise team gets up and they're worshiping. And my brother, who just lost his wife and don't know what to do with this little newborn, stands up and just begins to worship the Lord. And I looked at my brother. Wow, wholeheartedly. Thank you, Minister Kim. Thank you. Okay. Verse 14, so fear the Lord and so serve him wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. My brother did not allow. And see, that was hard. That was, to this day, that's the worst, the hardest thing we've been through in my family. Because it seems so unfair. If it was my mother, we could have gotten that. My mom was 80-something. Well, you know, it's you know, expected. Not only was she 32, but she just given birth, Lord. But see, my brother's mind was made up. Let's finish verse 14. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. serve the Lord alone. Wait, do what now? Put away the idols, your ancestors. That means the stuff that your daddy and your granddaddy and your great-granddaddy, you know, generational things. And what does it say here? It says put them away. Oh, but that's not our family. Put it away. It means you have the ability. Serve the Lord alone. Look at 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you're going to serve. Okay, fine. And he gives them a choice. Watch, I need you to see this, okay? Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Now, let me tell you this. This is generationally. Because you remember I told you Abraham, okay? That was Noah, okay, and then the flood. And then Abraham, years later, he's the one God said, I'm going to start something new. I'm going to create the whole Hebrew race with you. And so now Abraham's father, Terah, they worship idols. So that's why God said, get away from your country, from your kinfolk, and from your father's house to land I'll show you. And some of us, we stay stuck up in mama and daddy. That's why the Bible said a man shall leave. God wants to do a new thing, but you're holding on to the old thing. You know, you get with some friends, yeah, remember back in the day? No, I don't. I think Elder Joyce, when you were at the when you were exhorting, right, doing a worship transition, you made a statement. You said something about the forgetting the past and we look into one of y'all. One of y'all said somebody look into the future. Oh, I don't remember. I'm trying. Okay, she did. Okay, Elder Joyce. Okay, look at, and we need to do that. I'm watching this movie once, and it's a silly comedy. I don't remember what it was, but it was about a car race across America, and I remember one scene in it. It was so dumb, but I probably didn't watch the whole movie. But this guy gets into a little old classic Ferrari convertible, okay, not one of the new high horsepower ones, and the rearview mirror is mounted on a dashboard. It's not hanging from the windshield, and his partner there, he grabs it. And pulls it up and then throws it behind him. And his partner says, why'd you do that? And he says, what's behind me is of no matter. But we look at what our ancestors have done and we get hung up there. The next one in verse 15, he says, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? And that's talking about the people that are around us now. We got so many people saying this is okay and that's okay. And the Bible says it's not okay. Just because now we voting things in the law, I don't care what y'all vote for. I'm going to get a majority vote. I'm going with the minority. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many be that find it. Narrow is the path that leads to life, and few. Many versus few. I'm part of the few. I don't blend in. Well, everybody, let everybody do what everybody so that's fine. Doesn't mean me. I'm not doing it. Or it'll be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But as for me and my family, at the head of my house, you eating my food, using my electricity, I'm the one going to work and paying the bills. Oh, you coming to church. Now, once you get out on your own, you're grown. You shall leave and cleave. But right now, the youngest, he's leading worship over there in the church in Venice. The next one up, the middle one, he's over there teaching the youth right now. And the oldest, he's sitting right back there running these screens right now. Because see, if you train them up in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart. But see, when we're younger, we like, okay, you, and they seeing you. They seeing you. And you wonder as they get older why they so messed up. And that's no condemnation. One of the things I would do if I was in your shoes and that's your situation right now, I would get on my face, Father, I'm sorry, I repent. Lord, I need your mercy because mercy is what you get when you were wrong. Yes. I need your mercy. I need your mercy because you. Come on. And now, Lord, I need your grace. Grace is God's supernatural ability to get stuff done on your behalf when you are unable to. Grace me, Heavenly Father, to parent these adult children so they can get back in line with for the purpose in which you call them. But I'm going to talk to you just for a second about two things. Let's talk about your generational issues and what's been handed down. Can I have the first slide, please, Lavelle, the first picture? Divorce is rampant in my family. Like everybody got marriage problems. Everybody. The people can't, you can't pay them to stay together. Now look at all my uncles and aunts too. Even aunts, because I generally look at the guys. But the other day when I started this, I still look at my aunts. One of them passed away, one was alive. And she the type, she might be listening to this because she's all in technology and everything. She know how to go online. My mama don't. That's why I be talking about my mama, because I know she ain't going to hear it. Okay, anyway. You ever notice the difference in my preaching when she's here? Okay. Amen. The lady still scares me. All right. 80-some years old. Okay, mama. Wait. We were going to see a play. Me and my brother, Jackie and Robin, and my mother, the five of us were going to see a play. And my brother and I we talk trash to each other. We brothers, you know, And I'm saying something, he's saying something, and my mom says, "Stop it, both of you." And I did this. And it surprised me. I'm like, and I, in my mind, I ain't said a lot in my mind. I'm like, I'm a grown man. Lady had me on edge the rest of the night. Okay. But divorce in my family is serious. It's serious. And the Pharisees, when they approached Jesus, they said, you know, when Moses gave us a bill of divorce and said we can divorce our wives such and such. But Jesus noticed his response. He says, in the beginning, it was not so. Now, we let Moses come in and work with y'all because y'all got hard hearts. But in the beginning, divorce wasn't part of it. So I have to make a choice. I'm going to choose God's way, or just because Jackie's working my nerves. Because that's all it is. She's just doing something I didn't expect her to do or I don't want her to do. When I break it down like that, it's like, dude, get over it. This is, I told you, your youngest son today, you know, I saw him over there. He ran up to me, Baba, I hugged him. I said, you're going to be good today? Yeah, you're going to obey? Yeah, your teacher's going to have to say anything to you? No. And we expect him, because what happens with champion, he doesn't get his way. He pouts. We're grown men, do the same thing. Let that one sink in, okay? Really. And the thing about us pouting, though, and going back to the fellas, and again, I love you guys. You know that, okay? But there are times when we can take a hit or take something. We just like, yeah, we keep standing. But something about the women, they just make us just like, we can't. We, what is it about that? No, I'm in this until death do us part. And it's not that. So, and I want you to understand something. I just made my mind up. Just made my mind up. There are so many things I've learned to live without and do without. I have. And it's the same thing here. So I gotta make a decision. God, and I believe I'm getting God's attention because he said, love her like Christ loved the church. And God is, Jesus is forgiven in us, right? He breaks every chain. I need to break her chains. If I'm gonna be Christ-like, the way Christ loves us, that's the way I need to love Jackie. He speaks a word over me. He intercedes for us. He's ever living, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession on our behalf right now. So I got to pray for her. So then that won't happen. Next picture, please. Now, this is my family big time. Good Lord. They are drinking this. They keep the liquor store in business. Liquor store owner got a Benz because of my family. They keep that. They make his car payment. Anyway, no joke. It's serious. No, and across the board. And then there's my grandparents too. That stuff is for real. So we go on a cruise. LaBelle, you was what, 18, 21? Not in my notes, I'm sorry. If you don't like, you see what happens. You and my family, you get told on. So we on a cruise, and LaBelle's, he's out dancing like after whatever, because he's, you start drinking at 21, 18 or 21? 21. So he's 21. And, me and Jackie decided, let's just go out, because we had separate rooms from the boys, hallelujah. And so we go walking out. And Lavelle's out there, and I'm telling, this woman had, bam, bam. I mean, she was just shaking, and I'm looking, and it was like, I just standing there looking at her, I'm like, she going to hurt my son. I said, Jackie, I got to go get she was just too much woman. All of else says I was 22. Okay, he was 22.
Oh, it was 22. Oh, but, okay.
But what happened is he had a drink. And so he's legal. So we just had a sit. We sat down with him. Let me explain something to you. And see, he's not my biological. So, but his father, his biological, had addiction issues. And so we just explained to him about, just like I'm talking to you, we just had one conversation. And that's the last drink he had. So when we talk about generational things, they can be broken, okay? They can be broken. 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 Doesn't have to continue. They can be broken. Seriously. My family has a habit of not finishing things. I didn't go to school. I didn't go get my degree until I started when I was 38 or 30. I think I was 40 or 41, like 40, I think, when I got my degree. We didn't. And she didn't get hers until, like, you were 40 or something. Yeah, we didn't go to school. But all my kids did. Yeah. You can break that. You can. You can turn things around. The other thing here, he talks about the gods of the Amorites. And these are people in the land they now live. And these are, they're Amorites that live around us. These are ungodly people. They're ungodly. I don't care what they say. They can be nice, but they're ungodly. I'm in a third picture. Here's the thing. You listen to enough rap music, and it's all about B's and H holes, and just I'm going to do this. And then what happens is, see, here's a universal principle. Faith comes by
hearing.
What you constantly hear, you're going to get in your heart, and what you get in your heart is what you're going to say, and what you say is what you're going to have. That's how it goes. So I guard what I hear. That guards what gets in my heart. That guards what comes out of my mouth. So I only let in good stuff. So I don't listen to that. But now within African-American community, 70% of our kids are born out of wedlock. 70%. Now, again, I ain't mad at nobody. Lavelle was born out of wedlock. So, dang, he putting Jackie on blast. No, I had, when I was 18, I had a girl that was pregnant, okay? But we had to make a shift. Now, the thing is that everybody around me was doing it. Rick James on the radio, give it to me, baby. Give me that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Hey, right? And then we was just. No, I want you to think about it. We on a dance floor. She's saying, give it to me, baby. Culturally, that was it. And you get a situation. Look at the girl. She's like, okay, got to tell a guy I'm pregnant. What are we going to do? He's like, oh, is it mine? Ooh. Other thing, too, is what we're listening to, the misogyny, the way we treat women. Next slide, please. This one cracks me up. They crack me up. She can sing. She can dance. She can, and they making money. They beating people up in the elevator. Oh, I got YouTube. And we would let them dictate what's right. Well, Jay-Z, he's on CNN talking about he cheated. If I need a real funky beat, I come to the band Praise Band. They was funky this morning. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. And then it becomes adultery begins. Okay. Jay-Z did it all. He was getting his. Got his side chick. Let me have the scripture. 1 Kings 18:21 again, please, Lavelle. 18:21. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? You going to do what your parents have been doing, that generational stuff, or are you going to allow cultural influences to impact you? Or are you going to serve the Lord wholeheartedly? I don't care who wins the game today. I really don't. It doesn't matter to me. And even if I was rooting for one particular kind of team, it kind of doesn't matter. It's just a game. We're going to have fun, we're going to laugh, we're going to cheer, and that's fun. But I keep this in mind, I want you to keep this in mind too. The thing that gets God's attention is a made-up mind. Can you serve him wholeheartedly with everything that's in you? Can your life really reflect the word of God? And it's only a matter of making a decision. Amen. It really is. Sometimes we're so afraid of losing out on something. And I've learned something. If you just let go and trust God. Let go of doubt, fear, past stuff. Let it go. You know, let's let it go. It has to look like this. I need him to get on two knees and get the photographer just right when he proposed. Let it go. Somebody's asking you, just be happy with that. Let it go. Focus on God. Just focus on God. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you're an amazingly great God, and we love you.